T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow. You're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm a first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. My name's Andy Bunker. That right there is Randy McMichael. Good morning, Randy.
What's happening, man? What's happening?
How are you?
I'm good, man. Nice fall morning when I got up. Saw your breath a little bit
crisp
this morning. A little crispy.
It's crisp out there.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm doing good, man. Got a lot to talk about today. You know, it's Thursday, almost to Friday.
We're getting there.
We're getting there, man. We slowly inching along, but we almost there.
The good thing about that is, with another weekend means more football games. Well, I know that that's good in general. We love football. But, I mean, there are teams in this city that need to play again.
Yeah.
Because what happened last weekend,
that's a good point.
We need to get that taste out of our mouths, especially with Georgia. And we think Georgia is going to do that against Kentucky. There's not a lot of worry there, but there wasn't a lot of worry going into the South Carolina game either. So callously talk about these matchups the way that we did last week. And we'll get to that in a minute. The Falcons are a completely different situation, obviously. And just like you've been saying the last couple of weeks, it remains the same this week and remains the same today. Just get a win. Just get one.
That's
and then
it.
Maybe you can build upon that and we can talk about more when more can happen.
You can't have a win streak until you win a game.
You can't.
You know what I'm saying?
That is a fact.
Can we get one?
You got a losing streak going, unfortunately. So do the Rams, though.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams also have a losing streak going, so maybe it's the right time to be playing them, and I know that they've made some personnel changes this week. Probably the biggest news in the NFL this week being that Jalen Ramsey is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams, and his back got better pretty quickly.
It's that dry heat in Los Angeles. Southern California weather, man.
Well, it's like a humidity in Florida that maybe tightens up the spine. I think that's what it is. The vertebrae were kind of impacted by the humidity, but now it's dry out there in LA, so he's feeling better. It's all medicine that we don't understand, but it's probably true. His back probably did hurt at some point, and he wasn't faking it because he didn't want to play. Anyway, he's going to play for the Rams this weekend, which makes for an interesting conversation about him and Julio Jones. Went up there yesterday to Flowery Branch, as I was mentioning with John and Hugh. We go up every Wednesday. Got a chance to talk to some of the guys, got a chance to talk to Matt Ryan and hear what he had to say. And it's weird. And you can tell me what you read into this because mm-hmm. you've been in a lot of locker rooms. You've been in locker rooms that are 1-5.
Right.
It seemed the same. Like the vibe was the same. Nobody was particularly testy. No one was particularly prickly or anything like that. I guess there was a few less guys available to talk,
which is gonna
immediately
happen. Right.
But it wasn't that many less. It wasn't a morgue, and I was kind of expecting to go in there and just see a bunch of guys that were bummed out, and it really didn't feel like that at all.
Well, here's the thing, and I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, when you look at where the Falcons are in their season, and just thinking in the same kind of mindset that all athletes have when you're
right.
not mathematically eliminated. And a lot of them still feel like, you know, we still got a lot of football left. We still can find a way to turn this thing around. But they all have the same mindset as we just got to get a win. And I think that's the most important thing. And that should be – not that it should be. That is what their mindset is. You can even still – I mean, of course Dan knows that he's on the hot seat, but he's not thinking about that hot seat. He's thinking about getting this win because you got to have one to get two. And this is the most important game of the season because it's the next game in the season. And you got a team in here coming into your house that you can beat. You know what I'm saying? But we said that last 3 weeks, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I mean, I mean,
beyond just the any given Sunday thing, though, like you can beat them.
You can beat them.
The Rams are a scuffling football team right now, and we don't know whether or not Todd Gurley is going to play. To me, that makes a huge difference.
It does.
As to what the Falcons are going to be able to do against them on Sunday. But no, I mean, it's not just like I don't think either one of us really thought there was a great chance that the Falcons were going to beat the Texans. And we kind of talked about that game that way.
But the thing about it is,
but the Cardinals,
we thought it would be the Cardinals
could beat the Cardinals.
And, but we said they could beat the Texans because of what the Texans had did at home in their two previous games. But then again, the Falcons have been everybody's get right game so far the last 3 weeks, and now that's how you look at it. It's like, okay, we had it. And when you are in a position where this team is right now, you got to be positive with it. You know what I'm saying? You can't be like you said. You know. You can't break up right now because you need each other right now because what's the phrase? We all we got. All they got right now is the Thayer Flower. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody in the city, all the fans are, you know, talking bad about them. We talking bad about them. So all you got is each other. So you can't be in there trying to divide, oh, well, the offense going to the defense. Hey, man, y'all need to tighten up. You can't do that right now because – they know that.
Right. Like, I wasn't expecting to walk into the locker room yesterday and see people screaming at each other and fighting because the defense is giving up 30-plus points a game. Like, that's never going to happen. These guys are professionals. They've played football for a long time, most of them. And you understand, sometimes, as a professional, your team's just not as good as you want it to be. I do think it has to do with that math, though. I think math is a big part of the reason why the vibe is still relatively positive, because they have that belief that every competitor has, and every competitor should have. Like, I'm not saying that the Falcons players are wrong for believing that there's still a chance. They should believe that there's still a chance. Right. They have to believe there's still a chance if there is still a chance. I don't personally believe that there is one because I haven't seen any indicators on the field that tell me that they're going to get this thing turned around. I hope they do, but I don't trust it to happen.
I'm just cautiously optimistic right now with this team because of what I said previously. I just had that same mindset. It'll never go away sometimes. And you're like, okay, you're still mathematically not out of this thing, even though we look like crap. But at the same time, all we got to get is one because stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened in this league. And we saw a team 1-5 from last year, you know, and had to find their way and do all those things. But the one thing about it was is that, you know, they got better. You saw signs of the Colts getting better. You don't see those signs.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You really don't. Not at this point. You were talking about certain numbers, how they differ from the numbers last year. The points per game are up. The yards per game are up.
But it's like, it's so. Like,
it's minimal.
It's minimal.
Well, the yards per game are minimal.
Yeah, the yards per game are minimal. You're giving up almost 5 points more per game. That was something that Von McClure had tweeted out. And that's a lot. That's a lot. And then you look at the yards. Well, Dan, to go to the defense, you shouldn't be more yards. Even though it's only 4 yards more per game. But. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't you be maybe 4 yards less per game? You know, just anything that shows a sign of progress.
Right, exactly. And I wish that there was. Unfortunately, there are no signs of progress, and I think it comes back to a root. On defense, there are no signs of progress. There have been signs of progress offensively. Yes. It comes back to the root issue that we've been talking about all season and something we talked about all summer. If you can't put pressure on the quarterback, Tack and Vic and the rest of those guys can't get into the backfield, then you're not going to have a chance to stop offenses. You're not going to create turnovers, which the Falcons are not doing recently, and you're going to give up a ton of points. And I got to get to a question here in a minute about when coaches know it's time to change and how difficult it is for coaches to change. Before we do that, though, let's give away some change. Let's give away $1,000.
Loot!
It's a lot of change.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Globe. Globe. You have until 10:59 to text GLOBE, that's GLOBE, to 72881. Again, that's 72881. Message and data rate supply. Please do not text and drive. Complete rules. Visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, that word is GLOBE.
I always thought it'd be cool to have one of those big globes, like in a library or a study
globes.
But I don't have one. We don't have an appropriate room for a globe.
I like globes.
You gotta have a fancy room for a globe.
Like where a piano or something.
Yeah,
a nice bookshelf.
Like a bunch of books, leather-bound books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can't just put a globe next to like a neon beer sign.
No, you can't do
that. Those things don't go well together.
Some people do.
Maybe someday I'll have a room with a globe. That's a goal to aspire to. When do coaches know that it's time to do something different? And how hard is it for coaches to make that decision? I got to give a shout out to to the Dog Nation podcast. I was listening to the Dog Nation podcast coming in today.
Uh-huh.
They do a great job over there. It's amazing.
Yeah. Brandon, every day. Yeah,
45 minutes to an hour every single day about what's going on with Georgia football. And he asked a really interesting question about self-awareness, something you and I talk about
all the time on this show.
I think the best quality any person can have is self-awareness, but especially athletes and coaches and things like that. And I'm not sitting here saying that it's time for Kirby Smart to completely change identities. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think Kirby, I think Kirby's identity that's gotten him to this point as a coach, that's gotten him to a level that hardly any coaches get to, like, to be a head coach of an SEC program and win an SEC championship is rare air. Like, you just don't get there. Same thing with Dan Quinn. Like, to become an NFL head coach in the first place is almost impossible to achieve. To go to a Super Bowl and win an NFC championship game is crazy. Like, Dan Quinn, as much as he's being absolutely crushed right now, and rightfully so for what he's doing with this football team, has done something that almost no other coach in NFL history has ever done. So that makes it even harder to change your ways, right? You have that justification of success to continue to believe that what you're doing is right. If you just keep doing it longer, it's going to fix itself. And I wonder, because I think the best coaches are coaches that have that identity and have the thing that they do well and their messaging and their leadership and all of that, but also have adaptability.
That's
we talked about adaptability yesterday.
That's the biggest thing.
When do you know that it's time to do something slightly different?
Well, this here's my thing, and because I don't know, I've never been a coach. So I've been around where, you know, things just aren't working. So you try to do something new, but it goes away from what you do best. What Georgia does best is run the football. The adaptability part about it, you got to tinker with some things. And it's not always on the play calling. Sometimes it's on the players. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the players got to play better in a scheme also. When you look at what happened with Georgia, and, you know, there's so many questions coming out because of the fact that you had a bad loss to South Carolina, is that, you know, the receivers, they're not getting open all the time. You made a great point out in the bullpen. I mean, whenever you have certain receivers in the game, you're going to throw the ball. Whenever you have certain receivers in the game, you're going to run the ball. You got to break that kind of tendency. Whenever, and the same thing for Dan. You know, it's hard to change a complete, you know, as far as scheme. It's hard. I mean, it's really hard. That's why I'm glad Georgia has a bye week coming up about this, because you can work on something. We're not going away from what we do.
No.
It's not going to happen. But to put some adjustments to it, I think that's more important to it. And the players got to make those adjustments also. Okay, you're not – okay, coach, I know that you're going to take me out on this run play. So, you know what? As a player, it's my job to get better at it. Because the thing with blocking is, man, it's want to. That's all it is. It really, majority of the time, it's a want, especially out there at the receiver position. Anybody asking you to maul somebody, just get in the way. Get in his way. That's all you got to do. Don't let him make the tackle. Don't let him be effective on the play. The thing with Dan is that you saw them try something new this offseason.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? He did make changes.
He did make changes, and the changes didn't work.
It didn't work.
You know what I'm saying?
So they blitzed, according to Dan Quinn, they blitzed 17 times last weekend.
But
that's what people have been begging for.
That's what I'm saying. But
do something different.
He did something different. But the thing about it is, you're not getting home, and you got to give the Cardinals credit because they made adjustments to the blitz. They were able to get the ball out of his hands fast.
Yeah.
And that's how you beat a blitz. You get the ball out of, you get the ball out of your hands fast, and then, you know.
Yeah. It also helps if you know, guard guys.
Yeah, that might help too.
If you cover guys. We're going to get into some commentary that Brian Baldinger had coming up in about half an hour. Coming up next, though, what's trending, including some of what we heard yesterday at Flowery Branch and what Dan Quinn's talking about here.
It's very close.
What's close?
What's close?
I have an idea of a couple things that are close. One of them Dan Quinn probably doesn't like that much. We'll get to that coming up next in What's Trending, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There's nothing that we would say we're hitting the mark in any way. So, like, when we're playing team defense, like, there's lots of spaces that you want to get to where you can get to. So to not, you know, be where we need to be and forcing turnovers and creating sacks, like, that's part of, you know, the identity and style that we want to be. So we're not hitting to that space, you want to dig and find some answers. And so, and that's, you know, kind of the constant state of where you want to keep pushing for it. And the good news for the players, it's very close.
I hope he's right. Dan Quinn talking about the defensive identity being close.
He could be.
I guess, I mean, that's one of those things where the difference between a team that's not actually trying hard or a team that's not very good. A team that is really close to doing what they want to do, or a team that is nowhere near doing what they want to do. I really don't know. Like, it's hard to say, because if you don't get there and you don't actually do it, does it matter if you're close? Like, it's not horseshoes.
Don't know. But looking up here at the TV, it says Todd Gurley returned to practice on Wednesday.
Okay, so. Well, that's good news for the Rams.
But anyways, going back to Dan.
For Todd Gurley fantasy owners.
I mean, you have to keep that mindset that we're close. Like my folks down in Miami, they know what's going on, all right? You know what's going on. You got to keep that mindset that, okay, guys, we got to get this one win. Because you just want to, like I said, when I was talking about just feel good, make it a good plane ride back from Arizona. Just make it a nice drive back from down there off Northside Drive. You just got to get, one win is all you need. And if he thinks you're close, who am I to say that you're not? Because you're close to getting sacks. I mean, you're right there. You just don't get them.
I know, but close is such an interesting conversation in the NFL.
I mean, is that the same thing with progress?
Because I think, close and progress and all these platitudes that we're using to describe what the Falcons are right now, that none of them matter. But close is like the difference between being the Falcons at 1-5 and being the Seahawks at 5-1. The Seahawks aren't that much better than the Falcons. They're really not. Like, I've watched pretty much every minute of their games this year. They've won three different games by less than 3 points.
Right.
And one of them was incredibly lucky. The Rams missed a field goal that they shouldn't have missed.
Right.
Like, close in the NFL is the difference between getting fired and making the playoffs.
Yes, it is.
Like, the margin is so slim. And we were talking about this before the show. Take the Dolphins out of it.
Yes.
And maybe the Patriots out of it on either end. Take the outliers, the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in the middle, like, even the teams that are really bad right now and the teams that are really good right now aren't that different in terms of what their talent is. It's the ability to make those 2 to 3 to 4 plays during a game that change a game.
Yep.
We saw it the other night with the Packers and the Lions. I know a lot of that was the referees. But the Packers are 5-1 right now because in the fourth quarter of that game, a number of different things happened for them that didn't happen for the Lions. Mm-hmm. Like, those things are not happening for the Falcons right now. So, yeah, maybe you are close. But that doesn't matter. Like, being close in the NFL is not an excuse. You're not doing it. You're not getting there. And the thing that I heard from Dan Quinn that I agree with the most from that quote is he was talking about the identity not being where they want it to be. Like, all of the things that Dan Quinn believes in defensively, this team doesn't do any of them.
Nope.
Like,
they don't
sack all about the ball. They don't do that.
Nope.
They don't hit the quarterback at all.
Nope.
They're not fast and physical.
Nope.
I mean, they may be fast, but in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Like, you see guys going all over the place where they're not supposed to be going. So, if you're the defensive coordinator and the head coach and you have a specific identity that you want for your defense and your defense doesn't embody any of them, that's why you're 1-5.
And that's why he's frustrated, because they don't embody it.
That's why he's on the hot seat.
That's why he's on the hot seat, because your team is not doing what you hang your hat on, what you sold the Falcons brass and the Falcons fans on a slogan, the ball.
Yep.
And you're not getting it. You're not giving it away like you did at the beginning of the season, but you're not getting it. You're not even close to getting it. That's the thing about it. You're not getting close. And yesterday, when we were talking about, just do something. We're not asking you to be a shutdown defense. Just make a damn play. Make a play. Make a play that forces a team into a mistake and allows your offense to get the ball again. Because that's how you're going to turn this thing around. You've got to make a play defensively. All right? You can be solid and bend, don't break and all that. I get that. But eventually, somebody got to make a play. Somebody got to get an interception. Somebody's got to strip sack something. Or even the offense. Fumble a snap. Something.
Do something.
Do something.
Have something good happen for you on the field when you're on defense.
Yeah, because last week you saw what happened when you played complimentary offense defense. When you got those three straight three and outs.
They're right back in the game.
They're right back in the game.
Right.
You're right back in the game. That's why you get frustrated with this team, because you see what they can do.
Well, it was funny, too. Like, you could see it on the sidelines. When they got those three, and
excited. They were amped.
The sideline was jacked up when they got off the field three times in a row. That's good. The offense feeds off of that. Maybe the defense can get some confidence, but it wasn't enough. And maybe they were close. They were a missed PAT from tying the game, potentially going to overtime, and who knows? You win a coin toss, maybe you win. I don't know. But again, close doesn't matter. Like, it's not good enough. You have to get there. You have to be over the top. Getting close to the quarterback is Vic Beasley's favorite thing to do. He doesn't have any sacks, so it doesn't matter. We'll get back to this in the NFL No Huddle in a half an hour.
Well, I'm sure not only myself, but the coaches and everybody will come up with a good game plan. And if it's smart for me to go out there on Sunday, then I will. I've been missing football. I love football. So I would love that. But at the end of the day, we do have to be smart as well. So I don't know. I can't tell you yes or no right now.
That's Jalen Ramsey talking about whether or not he's going to play on Sunday. He's gonna.
Yeah, he's playing.
He's gonna play on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, they traded Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib's hurt.
Yeah.
They don't even have enough guys to play corner this weekend if Jalen Ramsey doesn't play. Not to mention the fact that he might be the best corner in football. And what did you say it was called?
Cat coverage.
Cat coverage?
You got that cat.
Yeah. That cat is gonna be Julio Jones.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And I went back, I thought about it again. And I'm sure he's gonna line up on Julio some. I think that what they might do is they might put him on Calvin, you know, when they're in that 3% and double Julio or something like that.
That'd be smarter.
That'd be smarter. But, you know, Jalen, he likes the challenge of guarding guys like Julio. So the thing with the whole thing, because Abe had asked me out there in the bullpen about it, and I was like, well, they don't really play zone in Wade Phillips' scheme. They are a man-to-man team. That's what they like. That's what they like to do. So I don't think they're going to have to adjust too much. Now, you got to learn different schemes and all that. But I think you just go out there and tell them to guard somebody.
If you're like, say you're an elite player at any position in the NFL, and Jalen Ramsey is an elite corner in the NFL.
Yes.
Is corner in man coverage the easiest thing if you're an elite player?
Yes.
To transition into on a different team?
Of course. Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe pass rush.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, what do you do? You go get the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know you don't know all the terminology and everything, but you know what? Line up over the left tackle and go get the quarterback. You know, use your natural gifts. That's for me, when you look at what happened with Khalil Mack. I mean, he got there, a week before the season? And then how he dominated against the Green Bay Packers.
Immediately.
Like, dominated? Because they were like, all right, we know you're learning our scheme and everything, but we're going to put you over that tackle.
Just simplify it for
you. You just go.
Go get that guy.
Yeah, you go get that
guy. And he did. And he got that guy over and over again. Hopefully that doesn't have anything to do with what Jalen Ramsey does this Sunday.
Now in the middle, Vince Carter with it. Vince starts to dribble on the right side. He fires up another one and hits another one. Oh, brother. And the Hawks bench going wild right now as the Hawks lead 56-51. Vince has 4 3-pointers in the half.
Yeah, Vince Carter got hot in the first half last night at Madison Square Garden. Had the place, which was, you know, partially full.
It's still a guard.
Going crazy for him.
It's still a guard.
I just love hearing the voice of Steve Holman calling Hawks basketball.
Sounds
I know it was
good.
A preseason game last night. Right. They won. They only had 2 turnovers in the first half, which is great. That's a huge improvement over what they had done. And look, like, I don't know what the Hawks are going to be this year. They'll probably win more than 29 games, which they did last year. I think the ceiling is probably an 8 seed if they're able to make the playoffs as an 8 seed. But there's a lot of exciting players on this team, even more exciting players that were on the team last year.
Right.
And plus, it's fun to see 42-year-old Vince Carter still playing in the NBA.
Vince was on one last night. Like,
look at Vince!
I think the biggest thing was the fact that Trey didn't turn the ball over. You know, they had 11 turnovers all night last night. And, you know, if you can keep making that progress. Now, Trey scored 23 points. He did have 19 shots. Didn't like that too much. He wasn't really efficient shooting the ball.
He'll shoot a floater from anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, dude. I mean, that's his shot.
He took like a 20-foot floater last night. It wasn't even from the free throw line. He was like legitimately 2 or 3 steps behind the free throw line and took a floater.
But it didn't
make it, but I like it.
But, I mean, again, this is a young team, and Lloyd Pierce, he knows what it's going to be like. It's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be high turnover games. But when you don't turn the ball over, you can look and see what kind of talent this team has. And, again, how about Vince?
How about Vince?
Vince was like, he's heating up.
DeAndre Hunter's been fun. You know who's been sneaky good is Jabari Parker. Like, I didn't have any expectations whatsoever for Jabari Parker. He looks good. Like, I don't know what that's going to mean.
Because he looks good. Just like you said, it's still preseason and everything. But at the same time, you want to see your team go out and put on a good showing. It was on the big network yesterday, at Madison Square Garden and Madison Square Garden.
And they make those guys do some lame stuff in preseason games. They had to interview a head of officiating about replays.
Uh-huh.
You get forced to do some stuff you don't want to do in preseason games. I had to change the channels. Like, oh, this is a snooze fest.
Yeah.
But it was still fun to see them play last night.
The 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for a shot to win $1,000. Score the best for the entire season. You can win a trip to Miami for the big game weekend and $5,000. Get signed up today on the contest page at 929thegame.com.
All right, we'll come back. I know Brian Baldinger joins us on Fridays at 1:20. He will join us tomorrow at 1:20 as well. But he always does these video breakdowns, oftentimes about the Falcons. Oftentimes they're negative. He did another one yesterday, but he made some great points. We'll get into some of what Baldy was talking about coming up next right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One of those things, a couple of guys having discussion.
I don't have one.
We don't have
an appropriate room for a globe.
I like globe.
You gotta have a fancy room for a globe.
Like wear a piano or something.
Yeah,
a nice bookshelf.
Like a bunch of books, leather bound books.
I'm very important. I have many leather bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I wish that was true about my house, man. I don't think we have any leather-bound books. Like a lot of magazines.
We do have some nice books. We just, you know, I don't know. We wouldn't put them up.
It doesn't smell like mahogany, I'll tell you that.
No.
You know what it smells like at my house right now?
What's that?
Pumpkin.
Oh, y'all went to the pumpkin patch?
No. But everything that my wife buys is somehow related to pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
Pumpkin candles.
Uh-huh.
There's like these little pouches of stuff that smell like fall, I guess. And
cool.
They're pumpkin thing. It's nice. It's nice. It's like going into a Starbucks, like
oh,
right
okay.
now. Like going into my house right now is like my house is pumpkin spice, basically.
Okay, cool.
Everything
cool,
in my cool, house, cool. Which I mean, you know, it's okay.
I'm just scared right now because it's about that time that she starts doing that stuff uh-huh. around our house, and I'm just worried.
Yeah,
I hate it.
We got one of those lights out front that like has yeah. bats projected yeah, all over the front of our
it's
house.
It's about that time, dude.
It's a real fall wonderland the bunker household right now.
This is her type of year too, dude. She starts bringing leaves and all kind of stuff, and like
it is funny. We bring stuff in from outside
yeah,
this
yeah.
time of year.
Like, come on, man.
Let's go rake the yard and then put it up on the mantle.
Yeah,
let's do
much.
That. That'll be nice. Now I do like the weather because you know what we're getting close to.
Your flannel.
I'm getting very close to flannel season. I mean, it's almost going to be flannel every single day for me. Anyway, we'll get into the NFL No Huddle coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. A lot of stuff going on around the league. Did you see that? I know we're going to talk about this in the Wendy Zone as well. Myles Garrett got punched in the face by a fan?
Yeah.
What? I know what you would have done.
No, I know what a lot of us would have done, not
yeah.
just Randy.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised he didn't. It's an amazing self-restraint.
He's kind-hearted.
Yeah, he is, not to quarterbacks. We'll get to that and more coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Brian Baldinger joins us on the show every Friday at 1:20. He's going to join us tomorrow again. He's our radio.com NFL insider, works for NFL Network, used to play in the NFL, knows the game as well as anybody does, and does great breakdowns. Always love talking to him. Unfortunately, we tend to be talking to him a lot this year about negative things regarding the Falcons because,
right.
well, they're 1-5 and they're losing a lot of football games. But if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. Baldy NFL. He does video breakdowns for all kind of different teams. But, of course, as Falcons fans, you'll be interested to see what he's saying about the Falcons. And, again, unfortunately, a lot of them have been negative. This one here that we're going to play for you, I think is probably the most frustrating one that I've seen thus far. I know you've looked at the video, too, and you've got some thoughts on it. I'd love to hear that as well. But here's Brian Baldinger. This is the play where David Johnson didn't have anybody within 20 yards of him when he caught the little dump-off pass against the Cardinals and the Falcons on Sunday. Here's Brian Baldinger's assessment of this play.
Only the Miami Dolphins defense is worse than this Atlanta Falcons defense. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse. But I don't care what defense you call, who calls the defense. How in the world do you not account for the running back? I don't care what coverage you're in. How do you not account for David Johnson? I mean, how is this possible that everybody just bails on 1st and 10 and leaves David Johnson all alone? Like, what defense is this? How do you not account for a running back? I don't care if you're in man, if you're in zone. I don't care what the coverage is. How is that possible that nobody accounts for the running back? I'm not beating a dead horse. This happened last week. It happened the week before. Now, you just can't give 30 yards on a simple screen to David Johnson and nobody account for him.
He's baffled.
Yeah.
You hear just the befuddlement in Brian Baldinger's voice. He's just like, how? How do you do this? What defense is this? Unfortunately, it's Dan Quinn's defense. And here's the thing, because some people sometimes when mistakes are made defensively will say, well, you don't know what the concept was.
Right.
Well, what's the concept in leaving the running back open 30 yards with no one around him?
What they're doing right here on this play, I'm looking at it right now, they're playing a zone coverage, right? And it's a play action pass, and David Johnson just runs a little trick, a little sneak route. What happens is that Deion and Devonder turn their backs and go start running. Like, it is definitely a zone coverage because you look pre-snap, the tight end comes in motion. They just bump. Nobody runs with them. So it's a zone coverage. And they're where the hell is Deion and Devondre going? That's why it happened because they done turned their – you don't turn your back in zone and run like that. What the heck is going on? That's why that happened. And then you see Ishmael, he had a chance to limit it to 20 yards. He gets shook in open field, and David gets another 7 yards. So, I mean, this is the communication thing that Dan keeps talking about. That, I mean – What the hell?
Like, one of those guys has to stay.
One of them got, somebody got to stay.
One of those guys has to stay, and you'd probably think it would be Deion Jones, as the middle linebacker, would stay in the middle of the field and maybe clean up, as he's been prone to do for a lot of his career. I mean, that's one of the things that Deion Jones is so great at, is closing that space, tackling in the open field, using his speed to be sort of that safety valve or whatever that the Falcons defense needs.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of did the wrong thing.
Everybody.
And that is the bigger point.
Yeah.
Like, yes, that's one specific example that's frustrating. But Baldy said it there, and he's talked to us about it the last month. Every single week you're seeing plays from this defense that are just head-scratching. Like, how could you not know to not do that? It was 2 weeks ago with Trufant and Oliver,
yeah,
where they're lined up next to each other in the secondary, and they bump into each other because they didn't communicate about who was going to go with who.
Yeah.
I mean, there was last week against the Cardinals where the defensive line left a 5-foot gap on the line, and they run right through it for a touchdown,
but here,
and nobody touches
I'm looking
him.
At this one. This is not a bad alignment by the Falcons defense. Grady gets washed out. He can't let that happen. Deion lets the tackle get up on him. But the one thing is that Sheffield has this tight end man-to-man that blocks out on tack.
Okay.
Sheffield, you got to go fill that void and stop that play.
And that's the one part of it. Look, I'm not going to make an excuse for anybody, but at least it's his first start. You know what I mean? Like, you should know that.
Yeah.
You should know that. But at least it's Kendall Sheffield's.
Kendall Sheffield's first start in the NFL. You got to feel
See,
that.
That's a young guy that made a mistake.
And then he walking around there all timid. Bro, go.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't second guess yourself. Don't be thinking. And you talked about this either Monday or last week or something like that. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was a great point in that it looks like a lot of guys are thinking before they react.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that they're uncomfortable in the scheme that Dan Quinn is asking them, which is weird because a lot of these guys have been in this scheme
exactly.
for years
but
now.
There's the thing. They've been in this scheme. This isn't something new they're doing. Remember, Andy, isn't this something that, you know, when our show first started and we were there in training camp, I was like, where are they running?
Yeah.
They're running something different.
A lot of five-man front.
You know
front.
What I'm saying? So the scheme is different.
The bare front,
you know
as they
saying?
Called it.
So it is different.
Okay.
But concepts are concepts. I mean, no matter what defense. Gap control is gap control no matter what defense. They're not doing that. But I'm looking at these two plays. I'm like, wow. Where the hell is the linebackers going? It's a zone coverage. You see Rico buzzing out to the one flat. Well, who's the other flat defender that's supposed to be over there with David Johnson? I mean, this is – they ain't going to let Baldy in here. They're going to let Baldy back in Atlanta.
What Baldy do? Baldy's not calling the plays.
Yeah, but no, it's
not his fault.
It's
But when you see something like that.
It's annoying.
That's individuals making mistakes.
Yes.
Right? Because
yes.
Everyone, when we talk about this,
yes.
We want to find blame. And I get it. When you're losing, blame is the most important thing to find. And eventually, if you lose enough, the blame will be put on the coach and the coach won't be around anymore.
Right.
But is that Dan Quinn's fault?
No.
Or is that those linebackers',
that's those linebackers
fault for turning
fault
around
for turning
and running away?
That's their fault for okay. turning and running. You know, the one thing about, you know, we know about in zone defense, everybody has an area. They're just, I mean, they're flat out getting up out of there. And like Baldy said, it's first down. Where the hell are y'all going?
Right.
I mean, you look at what Arizona's trying to do, which a lot of teams like doing first down. Take a shot on first down. It's covered. So you drop it down to the back, and he usually gets 7 yards. Well, hell, y'all gave him
right.
all
it was,
that cushion.
That was a 5-yard play.
Yes.
It was a 5-yard play. It turned into 30 yards.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, hey, it's almost here. It's almost here, people, as my man Hugh Douglas likes to say. Our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. It's Stars and Strikes, and it's next Wednesday, and it's also benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. Plenty of celebrities will be up in the house. We just found out our guy HD Harry Douglas is going to be there with Brian Jordan, Marquise Grissom. It's a 2-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes, including a grand $1,000 prize. The top bowler. Make sure y'all click on our events page at 929 The Game. Click Team Randy. And even if you don't go there, you still have time to get registered when you get up there.
So Brian thinks that you and I should make a wager on the bowling event.
All right.
Like, I want to win the whole thing.
Okay.
Well, doesn't have to be money.
Okay.
You can send in, if you'd like, the terms of the bet.
All right.
On the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929.
Okay.
There's ground rules. Nothing nasty.
Nothing nasty.
I'm not cutting any of my hair off or anything like that.
I wouldn't ask you to cut your hair.
Yeah, I would never do that. Okay. But, you know, something. Something. What would the terms of the bet between me and Randy at next week's bowling event need to be?
Good question.
Make it interesting.
Make it interesting.
404-741-0929. We'll come back, get to the NFL No Huddle after this on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.